A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
The map on my wall still shows a post office in a town that hasn't had one since before I was born, and I've never once thought to question it. Daniel's been thinking about the inverse of that, though. He wrote in asking whether there are documented cases of real, populated communities in already mapped parts of the world that somehow just never made it onto the map. Not hidden places, not deliberately erased places. Communities that cartographers forgot to include. He wants to know the most notable examples, how an omission like that even happens, and what became of those towns once somebody noticed.
The unmapped town. It's a strange thing to wrap your head around because we treat maps as complete inventories. The whole point of a map is that it's finished, authoritative, everything's accounted for. So a town that's been there for decades and simply isn't on the map feels like a category error. Like finding out your family photo album has a sibling missing from every picture.
And Daniel's right to suspect this is a real phenomenon. It's rarer than the inverse. The phantom settlement, the place that appears on maps but doesn't exist. Those are surprisingly common. But the real place that's absent, that's a stranger failure.
It is, and it matters more. A phantom settlement is a curiosity. Sandy Island, the famous one, sat on nautical charts for over a century and never existed. Somebody copied an error from an earlier chart and it propagated. But nobody lived on Sandy Island. Nobody was harmed by its non-existence. A real town missing from the map is a different order of problem, because maps confer legitimacy. They route emergency services. They determine where state funding goes. They tell a county assessor whether a place is real enough to care about. Being off the map isn't a philosophical condition, it's a practical one.
So we're going to look at the documented cases, the machinery of map making that allows a real town to slip through, and what happened to the people who had to fight their way back onto the page.
And I think the best place to start is Perdido, Alabama, because it's the case that actually made people ask Daniel's question in the first place.
Perdido, which is a real town in Baldwin County, Alabama, on the Florida border. Population somewhere in the hundreds. And in the 1980s, a resident picked up the new official state highway map and noticed that Perdido wasn't on it.
Not just the highway map. The town had been dropped from the state's official map entirely. Perdido had been on earlier maps. It was an old community named for the Perdido River, which is the boundary between Alabama and Florida. And then one year, it just vanished. A local resident, I believe it was a woman who worked for the town, noticed and started making phone calls.
The response from the state, as I understand it, was initially bafflement. The people in the cartography office didn't have a reason. The town just hadn't made the cut in whatever revision they'd done.
And that's the first mechanism right there, the revision. Most state maps aren't redrawn from scratch. They're updated from the previous edition. If Perdido was dropped from the source data at some point, whether that was a census file or a county submission or just a cartographer's judgment call about what fit at the new scale, then the next map simply inherited the absence. And the map after that inherited it again. The omission doesn't need a reason to persist, it just needs nobody to notice.
The copy error feedback loop. It's the same thing that kept Sandy Island alive for a century, except in reverse. Sandy Island survived because every chart copied the previous chart and nobody ever sailed to check. Perdido disappeared because every map copied the previous map and nobody in Montgomery ever drove down to Baldwin County to see if the town was still there.
Right? And there's a specific term for part of this. Map generalization. At smaller scales, a state map that has to show every county and every highway can't show every crossroads, so cartographers make choices. A town of 300 people might be dropped because it doesn't have a post office, or because it's unincorporated, or because the label would collide with a river name. That's not malice, it's a layout problem. But the problem is that once the choice is made, it stops being a choice. It becomes a fact on the next map.
The thing that gets me is the threshold. Perdido had been on the map before, so somebody, at some point, decided it no longer met the bar. And that decision was made by a person sitting in an office who had probably never been to Perdido, didn't know anyone who lived there, and had no idea that the town's volunteer fire department used the state map to coordinate with county dispatch.
And that's exactly what happened. Once the omission came to light, the town had to fight to get back on. It wasn't a phone call and a correction, it was a bureaucratic process. The town had to document its own existence. Letters from the county census records proof that it was a real place with real people. The state didn't just take the residents' word for it.
Which is an extraordinary inversion. The map is supposed to reflect reality. But when the map and reality conflict, the burden of proof falls on reality.
That's the sharpest way to put it, yes. The map had become the authority. Perdido had to prove itself to the map.
And there's a second case that helps sharpen what we're talking about, because it's the delivered version. Agdam, in Azerbaijan. A town that was left off certain maps due to political sensitivities, particularly during the Nagorno-Karabakh conflict. It was a populated place, but it was in a contested zone, and some mapmakers simply omitted it rather than take a position on who controlled it.
Agdam is useful as a contrast because the mechanism is completely different. With Perdido, the omission was an accident of workflow. Somebody's source data was incomplete, the generalization process dropped the town, and the error propagated. With Agdam, somebody made a decision. The town was too complicated to map, politically, so the cartographer solved the problem by making it disappear. Same result on paper, but one is a failure of process and the other is a choice.
And Daniel's question was specifically about the genuine oversight, the Perdido kind, which is rarer and, in a way, more disturbing. Because the Agdam kind at least has a logic to it, you can understand why a mapmaker would quietly drop a contested town. The Perdido kind has no logic. It's just a gap in the system.
The gap is the interesting part. How does a modern state mapping agency with access to census data and county records and aerial photography simply not have a town in its files? And the answer, in most documented cases, is that the agency wasn't working from primary sources at all. It was working from other maps. A commercial map publisher licenses data from a state agency, which got it from a federal source, which compiled it from county submissions that were themselves based on an earlier map. And somewhere in that chain, Perdido fell out.
The telephone game. But the message is a town.
And there's a second layer. Incorporated status. A lot of these small communities are unincorporated. They don't have a mayor in the formal sense. They don't have a municipal budget. They don't file the paperwork that would put them in a state database of municipalities. Perdido, as I recall, had a volunteer fire department and a community center, but not a formal incorporation. So it was easier for it to slip through the cracks. It wasn't in the list of official cities, so the mapmaker didn't have a checkbox for it.
Which raises the question of what a town even is. If you're unincorporated, you're not a legal entity. You're just a place where people live. And the map, being a legal document in some sense, doesn't know what to do with that.
The map is a list of entities. Cities, towns, census-designated places. If you're not on the list, you're not on the map. And the list is compiled by people who have never seen your community center or your volunteer fire department. They're working from spreadsheets.
So that's the mechanism. Source data gaps, generalization, the copy error loop, and the unincorporated status problem. Four ways a real town can simply not be there. Now the question Daniel asked, that's actually harder to answer. What happened next?
For Perdido, the aftermath was a genuine civic fight. The town got press coverage, which helped. A local newspaper picked up the story, then the wire services ran it. Suddenly, the state mapping agency had reporters calling, and the town got back on the map. But the process took months, and the town used the moment to make a broader point about state neglect. The missing map entry became a symbol of everything else the town felt it wasn't getting. Road maintenance, emergency response coordination, basic recognition from Montgomery.
The map became a proxy for civic dignity, which I think is the real story here. A town of a few hundred people in rural Alabama doesn't have a lot of leverage. But being on the map is a kind of proof that you count. That somebody in the state capital, even if it's just a cartographer in a cubicle, has acknowledged that you exist.
And the emergency services angle is concrete. If the state map doesn't show Perdido, then a dispatcher in a neighboring county who's using that map as a reference might not know where Perdido is. The volunteer fire department has to give directions from scratch every time. Ambulance drivers have to rely on local knowledge rather than the map. It's not that the town physically disappears, but the shared reference system that everyone else uses stops including it.
So the omission isn't just symbolic, it's operational. And that's the part that gets missed in the coverage, which tends to treat these stories as human interest curiosities. Town missing from map, haha, what a mix-up. But the people in Perdido weren't laughing. They were trying to run a fire department.
There's a deeper point here about maps as social constructs. We talked about this a bit with the phantom settlements. A map is a representation of what somebody thought was important at the moment it was made. It's not a neutral record. Every map has an author, and every author has priorities. A state highway map is optimized for drivers. It shows you where the gas stations are, where the highways connect, where the state parks are. A town of 300 people that isn't on a highway and doesn't have a gas station is, from the mapmaker's perspective, not really what the map is for.
Which is the quiet violence of the whole thing. The mapmaker didn't hate Perdido. The mapmaker just didn't think about Perdido at all. And that's worse, in a way. Deliberate erasure at least acknowledges that you exist. Accidental omission means you weren't even a factor in the decision.
And now we get to the inverse, because Daniel asked about significant communities, and the Phantom Settlement is the useful comparison. Sandy Island, in the Coral Sea, appeared on nautical charts for over a century. It was on Google Maps until 2012, when an Australian research vessel sailed to the coordinates and found open ocean. The island had never existed. It was probably a pumice raft sighting in the 1870s that got recorded as land, and then every subsequent chart copied the error.
The same propagation mechanism as Perdido. Somebody wrote it down once, and the error became self-sustaining because the cost of checking was higher than the cost of copying.
And the difference is that when Sandy Island was removed, nobody protested. There was no community of Sandy Islanders who had to prove they existed. The error was corrected with a shrug and a press release. But when Perdido was restored, it was a victory. The asymmetry tells you something about what maps are for. A map error that subtracts a real place is a much bigger deal than a map error that adds a fake one.
Because the fake one costs nothing. The real one costs people their standing in the world.
Now the digital age twist, which I think is the part of this that's actually still developing. With GPS and crowdsourced mapping, the power to be on the map has shifted. OpenStreetMap, Google Maps, these platforms let anyone add a place. A town that was omitted from the official state map can now just be added by a resident with a smartphone. The gatekeepers are gone.
Which sounds like the problem is solved. But it isn't, because the new gatekeepers are different. Crowdsourced maps are only as good as the crowd. If nobody in your town has reliable internet access, or if your town is in a place where digital literacy is low, or if the platform's interface is in a language your residents don't speak, then your town is still invisible. The bias just moved.
There's also the verification problem. Crowdsourced platforms have their own editorial processes, and those processes have their own blind spots. A place that's added by one user and flagged by another might get removed. A place that doesn't have a formal name in the platform's database might not be searchable. The barriers are lower, but they're not zero.
And the official maps haven't gone away. The state highway map still exists. The census still exists. The formal recognition systems that Perdido had to fight are still there. So now you have two parallel systems. The official one, which is slow and bureaucratic but authoritative, and the crowdsourced one, which is fast and democratic but messy. And a town can be on one but not the other.
Which creates a new kind of omission. A town that's on Google Maps but not on the state map is in a strange limbo. It exists for drivers using their phones, but it doesn't exist for the state agency that allocates road funding. The two maps don't agree, and the disagreement itself becomes a problem.
There's a philosophical question lurking under all of this, and I think it's the one Daniel was really poking at. If a community isn't on the map, does it still count? And the answer from the Perdido case seems to be, not fully. The people in Perdido knew they existed. Their neighbors knew they existed. But the state didn't, in some official sense, until the map was corrected. The map had a kind of reality that the town itself lacked.
Maps create reality. That's the uncomfortable conclusion. Not in the sense that the map is more real than the territory, but in the sense that the map determines what counts as real for the purposes of institutions. funding, emergency response, political representation, these all flow through the map. If you're not on the map, you're not in the system, and if you're not in the system, you're not real in the only way that matters to a bureaucracy.
And the Perdido story ends with the town back on the map, so it's a comedy. But the question Daniel asked implies the possibility of a tragedy, a town that never got noticed, never got restored, and just faded out of the official record entirely. How many of those are there? We can't know by definition. They're not on the map.
That's the haunting part. The omissions we know about are the ones that got caught. Perdido got caught because a resident noticed. But the whole point of an omission is that it's invisible. There could be other Perdidos out there right now, on old maps and in old databases. And nobody has noticed because nobody in those towns happened to look at the new state map.
The map on my wall still shows that post office. I checked this morning. It's been closed for years. And I have no idea what else on that map is wrong.
That's the thing. Every map is a snapshot of what somebody thought mattered at a given moment. And the moment passes. The map doesn't.
The next time you look at a map, ask yourself who decided what to include, and who might have been left out.
Which is a good place to step back and think about what this all means.
The town I'm thinking of got misspelled on the corrected map. That was the part nobody talks about. They fixed the omission and got the name wrong.
Wait, which town?
I don't remember the name. I was a temp at a state mapping agency for a while. Late 90s, maybe. I filed aerial survey photos. Most boring job I've ever had, and I've had some boring jobs. But there was a memo that went around about a town that had been missed in a county map update. The mayor called in a fury, and the agency's response was to blame the census data. Standard move. The census data is always the problem when nobody wants to admit they just didn't check.
The source data gap. Exactly what we were talking about.
They fixed it. The fix was somebody took the master map, the big paper one, and drew the town in by hand, just a dot and a label. Then they photocopied it and sent the photocopy to the printer. Nobody updated the digital database. So the next cycle, the town was missing again. The omission came back because the correction was never real. It was just a mark on a piece of paper.
The copy error loop. But now the error is the correction.
The name. The person who drew it in spelled it wrong. I don't remember what the right name was or what they wrote, but it was close enough that nobody caught it until the mayor called again. So now the town was on the map, but it was a different town. Same place, wrong name.
That's almost worse. You're on the map, but the map says you're somewhere else, or someone else.
The mayor wasn't happy. The agency sent another memo. The second fix was to put a correction sticker over the wrong name on the master map. Just a little white label with the right spelling typed on it. That was the official solution. A sticker.
The town existed on the map only as a sticker on a master copy, in a filing cabinet.
For a while, yes. Then they got a new digital system, and the whole thing got re-entered from the paper maps, and the person doing the data entry couldn't read the sticker. So the town went back to the misspelled version. I left before it got resolved. I don't know if it ever did.
That's the institutional inertia in a nutshell. Nobody was trying to erase the town. Nobody was incompetent in any dramatic way. It was just a series of small decisions made by people who had other things to do, and each decision was reasonable on its own, and the result was a town that couldn't get its name on a map for years.
The cartographer who drew the dot by hand probably thought they were being helpful, going the extra mile, and they created a whole new problem.
That's usually how it goes. The extra mile is where the trouble starts.
The thing I keep thinking about is the digital database. The paper map got corrected, but the database didn't, so the correction was never real in the system that mattered. And that's the modern version of this problem. The map you see is generated from a database, and if the database is wrong, the map is wrong. And fixing the map without fixing the database is just theater.
Like putting a sticker on a master copy.
It's not a bad comparison.
The database is the new master map. And the database is invisible. Nobody sees the database. They see the map that gets rendered from it. So when a town is missing, the fight is now about the database, not the map. And the database is even harder to fix because it's not something you can draw on.
You can put a sticker on a database.
You can, but it doesn't help.
The question Daniel asked, whether there are communities that evaded cartographers, the answer is yes. And the deeper answer is that the evasion is never really over. The town gets back on the map, but the map is just a rendering of a database, and the database has its own omissions, and the next map is already being made from the same flawed sources.
The digital age adds a new layer. Crowdsourced maps can be corrected instantly, but the official maps still lag. A town can be on OpenStreetMap within a day of being founded, but it might take years to appear in the state database. So now you have a town that exists on one map and not on another, and the question of whether it counts depends on which map you're looking at.
The map on my wall is wrong about the post office. The map on my phone is probably right. And the state map is probably wrong about something else entirely. Three maps, three different realities.
That's why I never trusted maps. I just asked for directions.
From who?
Somebody who lives there.
That's actually the most reliable cartographic method ever invented.
It works until the person doesn't know either. Then you're both lost, but at least you're lost together.
The misconception here is that maps are complete and authoritative. They're not. They're selective representations made by people with priorities and deadlines, and the omissions are usually not deliberate. They're just the result of a process that was never designed to catch its own errors.
The second misconception is that this is a thing of the past. Digital maps have their own blind spots. The gatekeepers changed, but the gate is still there.
The open question is whether automation makes this better or worse. On one hand, satellite imagery and machine learning can detect settlements that a human cartographer would miss. On the other hand, the algorithms are trained on the same flawed data, so they can inherit the same omissions. A town that was missing from the training data might be invisible to the model, no matter how good the imagery is.
The model won't notice it's missing. The model doesn't drive through town and wonder why there's no gas station on the map.
The forgotten town might become a forgotten data point. Same problem, new layer.
Daniel's question turns out to be about more than cartography. It's about what it means to be counted. And the answer is that being counted is a process, not a state. You have to keep getting counted. Keep appearing on the new map. Keep being in the new database. The moment you stop being counted, you start disappearing.
The map is never finished. That's the thing. Every map is a snapshot, and the snapshot is already out of date by the time it's printed. The town that's on the map today might be gone tomorrow, and the town that's missing today might have been there for 50 years.
The next time you look at a map, ask yourself who decided what to include, and who might have been left out.
Thanks to Hilbert Flumingtop for producing. This has been My Weird Prompts, the Human AI Collaboration Podcast. If you enjoyed this, leave us a review wherever you listen. We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.